We are down to our final four NFL teams, and we'll have a lot more discussion on those four later in the week. And this is your Morning Buzzcast for Monday, January 22nd. Good morning, I'm Abe Madcor. Thanks for listening to the Buzzcast. First, we have to start of what will become of Sports Illustrated, as a large portion of its staff were laid off on Friday or were told they had 90 days left of employment. So this comes after the Arena Group, which operates SI, missed a recent payment to parent company Authentic Brands Group, which has owned SI since 2019, and it sold the publishing rights to the Arena Group. And like I said, the Arena Group missed a recent payment for those rights, prompting Authentic Brands Group to pull the license. And that means the future of SI really is unknown. Staff has not been informed of future plans for the publication or if it will continue. The Arena Group has stressed that SI will not go away, saying that either they will or someone else will have the license to operate Sports Illustrated. Right now, the website is continuing to operate. There is still staff working on editorial content. Remember, SI's first issue was published in 1954 and was a weekly publication until 2018. It has been a monthly publication for the last 3 years, since 2020. But the demise of Sports Illustrated, what a terrible story for sports media and for journalism overall. Let's move on. The Boston Red Sox, they held their weekend fan fest in Springfield, Mass., and team chair Tom Werner shot down any idea that Fenway Sports Group could be looking to sell the team. There are more and more rumblings and rumors, especially on Boston Sports Radio, that the Red Sox could eventually be for sale and in play. But Tom Werner stressed that the cornerstone of Fenway Sports Group, despite all their holdings, the cornerstone is the Red Sox, and they hope to own the team for a couple of more decades at least. So Tom Werner showing his and John Henry's commitment to the Red Sox. Meanwhile, the Red Sox faithful, well, they showed their impatience over the weekend with the organization, as team president Sam Kennedy was booed when he took the stage with new chief baseball officer Craig Breslow. But despite hearing boos, most on the ground said the reception was not as bad as the team had last year. So Kennedy admitted that the team's payroll would likely drop again this season. And The Athletic reported that despite 4,000 tickets sold for the weekend event, the crowd on Friday was noticeably smaller than last year. There has been a lot of talk recently about Red Sox fans being apathetic, not engaged with the team. And so that is something you're going to want to keep your eye on. But it sounds like the turnout for the Red Sox weekend fan fest in Springfield was maybe less than in previous years. Let's stay with baseball, and where will the A's play in the future? Right now, it's uncertain where they will play between their time in Oakland and when they start playing at a new ballpark in Las Vegas. Members of the A's executive team have been touring various sites. They were in Sacramento on Thursday taking a look at Sutter Health Park. That is the San Francisco Giants AAA affiliate home. Meanwhile, the A's have also looked at the new home of the Salt Lake Bees. That's in Salt Lake. The Bees are building a new 7,500-seat ballpark, and the A's are interested in that as a temporary home as a potential stop between Oakland and Las Vegas. So you got Sacramento. You've got Salt Lake on the list. There's obviously the option of staying at the Oakland Coliseum. They've looked at the Aviators ballpark in Las Vegas. They've also talked about Oracle Field in San Francisco and the Reno Aces ballpark, Greater Nevada Field. So the A's do have options. Most believe the team must decide its temporary home before July, when Major League Baseball releases the schedule for the following seasons. The A's, of course, will have to play a few seasons at this interim ballpark before they open a new facility in Las Vegas. We will hear more and more examples of this, but Lionel Messi continues to drive the business of Major League Soccer, and the Messi craze shows no signs of slowing down. Sporting KC moved their match against Inter Miami for this upcoming season to Arrowhead Stadium. Their home facility, Children's Mercy Park, has capacity of just over 18,000. But since moving to Arrowhead, the team has already sold more than 60,000 seats for the game. They will likely top 70,000 seats sold when Inter Miami comes to Kansas City. That would easily be a club record. The club admitted it does not have a contingency plan if Messi doesn't play, but you are seeing time and time again how Lionel Messi is driving revenue around MLS. I received a lot of feedback on the reporting of the revenue and profits at the University of Texas, and over the weekend, more details emerged of other schools, and it shows how hard it is for college athletic departments to even break even. Let's look at UCLA, who will move to the Big Ten, and that move probably can't come fast enough. The Bruins reported revenue of over $105 million and expenses of $142 million. That was for fiscal year 2023. And yes, if you're doing the math at home, that is a deficit of more than $36 million. They lost $28 million in the fiscal year 22. At Cal, the University of Cal Bears, they reported revenue of $126 million and expenses of $134 million. So again, a deficit of nearly $9 million. And in both of those examples, expenses are growing far faster and far greater than revenue, and that is not a healthy path. But these are just two of the many examples of athletic departments being a loss leader for their universities. We keep waiting for the PGA Tour and the PIF deal to get finalized, but LIV Golf continues to move on. And it has brought on outside consultants to help drive sales and sponsorship revenue. It has retained Jigsaw Labs, a New York-based consultancy, to support its commercial strategies over the next 6 months. Jigsaw's principals are Ron Skatarczak and Evan Frankel. So they have joined LIV as strategic advisors. They'll be based out of LIV's offices in New York, and they'll work alongside SVP Global Head of Partnerships Monica Fee. So Skatarczak and Frankel worked together at Madison Square Garden. They were part of layoffs at MSG a little over a year ago. So LIV Golf adds some outside voices to help drive its commercial sponsorship business. And certainly Skatarczak and Frankel have a long history of commercial sales. And one of the top clubs in all the world has a new leader, as Manchester United has poached from a rival club in taking Manchester City's chief football officer, Omar Barada, and made Barada United's new CEO. This would make Barada one of the most influential leaders in soccer around the world. United had been looking for a CEO for some time. Richard Arnold left the team after Jim Ratcliffe agreed to buy a 25% stake in United. And Barada was targeted by Ratcliffe after he saw the success at Man City. Barada is likely to start his job sometime over the summer. He had worked at Man City since 2016. Before that, he was at Barcelona. So Omar Barada was some serious chops when it comes to the soccer landscape, and now he will be leading Man United. And that is your Morning Buzzcast for Monday, January 22nd. I'm Abe Madcore. Thanks for listening to the Buzzcast. Stay healthy, be good to each other. I'll speak to you tomorrow.